Lee. And on the line from Sedona, Arizona, is Dr. Patrick Flanagan and Gail Flanagan, the two Flanagans who have just hid away out there and will never come see us anymore. Doing all of their scientific things. Our subject, as you two well know, here for the first part of the show has been astrology with Lee, who we find to be quite innovative, quite down-to-earth, different, and has a non-mystic approach to a very ancient science, an art, which I think she is in the forefront of bringing back to what it used to be. Patrick, you've roamed the pyramids of Egypt and the ancient cultures of our time. They seem to have a better handle on astrology back then than they do now.
Well, it's true that what we sometimes call primitive man actually is closer to nature than we are, because we live a highly technical, so-called, you know, civilized society, and also we're a highly polluted world. But and being closer to nature, they tended to they were all naturalists. In other words, they were all scientists in a way of nature, observers of nature. And by observing various manifestations in nature, they were able to discover a great many things. Of course, that doesn't rule out the possibility that there have been other civilizations who have evolved great knowledge, and some of that knowledge has been passed down, some of it has been lost.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of the fact that astrology is an art, say, as I mentioned earlier, more of an art than a science, doesn't in any way lessen the potential significance of astrology, because, like I say, it's amazing. I had a lady who, the first time I talked to her, she had no idea who I was. I just gave her my birthday, in fact, and this lady, we were doing a large ad in one of the national magazines, and it was scheduled for September 23rd of that year. And I told her, she said, well, I see a lot of national publicity coming up for you sometime around, you know, the 23rd of September. And I, she said later than that. And I said, well, I said, that's amazing that you even picked that up, but actually it's happening earlier. It's happening on the 23rd, not in October like she predicted. And she said, oh, no, it's impossible to happen around the 23rd of September. It's impossible. And I said, well, I'm sorry, but we've already got a big ad in a big major magazine. It's set. They've acknowledged the receipt of it. We have a piece of paper saying that it's in the magazine, and it's going to happen. She said, well, I'm sorry, it can't happen. So I argued with her for a while, and then finally, about a week after the argument, the magazine called and said, we're real sorry, we can't get it in that issue. And it'll be in the next issue.
Exactly. Don't mess with the big boys.
Exactly as she predicted. So, and that was just the beginning. And then I established a long relationship with this lady, astrological relationship. And she, as I mentioned earlier, she, this particular one, hit me right on the... And, unbelievable. As I said, up in the 90s as far as accuracy. So,
on the Franklin scale, 1 to 10, 10 being best, you get a 9.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, what is new happening in your world? In fact, I'm just going to ask you right out. What's happening to that amazing water of yours?
Gail and I, as you know, and as many of your listeners know, Gail and I have, I spent about 23 years working on water, the secrets of water, because of the fact that Dr. Henri Coanda, who is the father of fluid dynamics, imparted knowledge to me when I was 17 years old about water and the structure of water being the secret to longevity. He said that it's the key to life itself, because the brain is about 80% water and the body is over 70% water. And he said we are what we drink, not what we eat. And he said this is the key to long life. In fact, he said the key to eternal life may be in water. And he gave an indication, for example, people in Hunza land in the Himalayas live to be over 100 years old and have children after 100. And they believe, the Hunza people believe, that it's due to the water they drink, which is this very special cloudy water from the glaciers that come down through Hunza land. And this is true of five other areas on Earth. Vilcabamba down in South America, the people also drink the same kind of cloudy water, and they also live to be over 100 years old with in perfect health, very little disease. And there's a place in the Gobi Desert, which is the same, and there are two other places in the world besides that. And Dr. Coanda had visited all these places and had discovered that, indeed, there is a secret in the water. And I spent nearly 23 years and... researching this, trying to discover the secret. And Betty Lee Morales there in Los Angeles had been to Hunza Land a number of times to talk to the mayor of Hunza, or the king of Hunza, and he had said that this water, the water there was the key to their long life, even though other people disagree with them. In other words, outside scientists come in and say, no, it's the food they eat, it's the food, not the water. So anyway, Betty Morales brought some water back for me to analyze from Hunza Land, and indeed the cloudy structure of the water, that is the little cloudy minerals in the water, are all high zeta potential or highly charged colloidal minerals. And I discovered that it's the high energy colloidal minerals that alter the actual structure of the water itself. And so Gail and I at that time, Gail and I had were together at that point, and I had been researching all types of water anomalies, and we began working on it together. And we discovered we were able to create or duplicate the colloids that were in the Hunza water. And we immediately started a fast, which lasted for over 6 months, in which we drank mainly fresh raw juices plus our Hunza crystal water. And we developed it further. People started using it. We now have about 3,000 people using it. We've used it on racehorses. We have racehorses that... by coincidence, when they take the water, they run faster. I'm talking about 11 lengths faster in about 3 months. We're talking about horses that go from a $16,000 value to up in the $70,000 range within a period of 3 months. You know, this has happened with several horses, and so forth. So, anyway, to make a long story short, because this can go on and on, Gail and I were looking for a vehicle for our water, that is, for someone who could get it out to the world, and
because of its
importance. We talked to 73 companies in a period of about a year, and out of 73 companies, we finally chose a company which is international. It's called Unimont, and it's a GmbH, Unimont GmbH, and it started in Germany by a gentleman by the name of Klaus Ritter. And Unimont has now got our water, and it's going all over the world. It's fantastic. They started in Germany just a few years ago, and this company is all over. It's in the U.S., it's in Canada, it's all over the common market, and expanding to other areas of the world. So we're very excited about it. And also, since we last talked to you, we've made a lot of improvements in the water.
And found a lot out about colloidal chemistry. You know, to gain a working conception, Bill, of what colloidal chemistry is and how important it is, just consider the living tissues and organs are simply great masses of cells, right? Billions of them. The energy, the very life force of these cells is obtained from certain minerals and metals, iron, iodine, manganese, copper, etc., some 32, with traces of many others. So colloidal chemistry is the science which converts those elements into particles so minute that they can be utilized by living cells. So life has been prolonged by colloidal action. And there was a scientist 50 years ago, we have an article from the Reader's Digest, 1935, Bill, that talks about colloidal chemistry, and it said the study of this phenomenon constitutes the road to the ultimate in human knowledge and life extension. And Rockefeller Center and some others have put a great deal of money into this research. But
we're the only ones who discovered the secret of underwater.
That's right.
Got a lot of crystals in it.
Yes, as a matter of fact, what happens, you know, most people don't realize it, but water itself is a liquid crystal. If you imagine the little molecules in water, most of them are randomly organized, but within this state of chaos are little icebergs, little crystals actually that have exactly the same structure as ice, little isolated ice crystals floating around in water. Even boiling water has little ice crystals in it. Most people don't realize this. And that the more structured the water is, for example, the water in the living cell is highly structured. In other words, it's all like liquid ice. And especially the water in the brain, which is the most highly structured. We found in our research since we last talked to you that raw, for example, fresh raw vegetable juice like carrot juice, orange juice, things like that, have highly structured water. And in fact, the body, if you take ordinary water into your body has to structure that water before it can even be utilized by the cells, before it can even cleanse toxins out of the body or carry nutrients into the body. And so what we've discovered is a way of structuring the water before we even drink it, so that when we drink it, it goes right into the cells and does its job.
And
Bill, have you ever made ice with our water?
Yes, I have.
Right out of the tray. Have you noticed?
I've made ice with your water. I put your water in with the reverse osmosis water that I use exclusively at the house, except when I can treat it with your care packages that you're so kind to send from time to time. And it's very clear. The ice is extremely clear. I've also put some of your water in the spa. Now, I keep crystals in the spa anyway, so the water is always clear, but that just made the water much more silky, and
that's
certainly
right.
the surface tension of the water was greatly reduced.
We don't use any chemicals in our whirlpool at all. Just
neither do
water.
We. No.
Don't need to.
I haven't put any chlorine in that spa in years. You can drink out of it if you want. I wouldn't recommend it. But you could.
Right.
Take your word for it.
I mean, there's a lot of things going on in that spa.
Right.
With me is Dr. Patrick Flanagan and Gail Flanagan. They're talking to us from Arizona. And we're talking about things of science here with Patrick. And in studio is Lee Holloway. And Joe has a very important question for Lee, and we'll get to that in just a second for Lee. So, Joe, you're on.
Yes, hello.
Hi, Joe.
How are you?
I'm just fine. How are you doing?
Pretty good.
Hanging in there, Gemini?
Yes, crazy Gemini.
And kind of tough.
Yeah.
Well, Joe, I'm looking at your chart, and for those listeners who don't know the question that you put forward to me, I'm going to share with them that the question is, I'm quitting drugs, and how strong is my willpower?
Right.
There are a couple of configurations in this chart that indicate you vacillate between being very strong and then giving away at the last minute.
Yeah. I find that too.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, Joe, that I really feel that the problem is a little more deep-seated than you might be able to handle alone, and I don't think it has anything to do with willpower. I'm looking at something in your chart which indicates the potential for some real psychological domination as a child, or real difficult psychological situations during your childhood years. And they may have occurred at such an early time that the programming was unconscious. And I'm not sure that you're going to be able to retrieve this in order to free yourself from some of these illusions about yourself without some help. There are some aspects that are going on that are also exacerbating your sense of self-worth, and they're not quite finished with you yet. Next year, they go on through the summer of next year. First of all, I want to applaud you. Your timing is perfect.
Why is that?
Because you're going through one of these Saturn cycles, which really allows you to face up to reality.
It's
really saying to you, now is the time for you to really get it together. Because what you do now is going to have a far-reaching consequence on the future for you. So it's a fabulous time for you to restructure your life and to stop buying into some fallacies. Do you know about the early childhood years? Are you fully aware? I don't want to say physical abuse, but certainly there's a potential for some psychological abuse in this chart.
Not physical, not at all.
Okay, but
definitely not physical.
Okay, but psychological, Joe? Dominated?
Psychological.
Okay, well, we're talking about perhaps being very manipulated, very controlled, very dominated. A lot of the independence may not have been appreciated, nurtured, allowed.
Well, see, on mother's side it was dominating. On father's side it was total neglect.
Yeah. Okay. See, there are two configurations going on here. That's why I suggest to you that this is one of those things that I think you're going to need a support group to help you through this. And I really would love to see you at this time get some hold on through counseling of some sort on just
okay.
Exactly. Pardon me?
Which I've done. I've done that.
All right. But,
absolutely.
But this is something that I think you need to engage in longer than this, Joe. These are real stressful configurations in your chart, and they're things that are not easily thrown over. And because your defense mechanisms are so strong, you're going to really need someone to help you sort through it. There's a lot of abilities here.
Yeah, see, that's the problem. Like, 2-3 weeks, I'll be fine. I won't even think. And then all of a sudden, you know, I won't even know that I miss it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll just be there.
Yeah.
And the next week.
Well, you see, there's a great deal of internal tension at play here. And that's why you block it out very well, I'm sure, because most of it, as I said, is occurring on an unconscious level. Pluto rules the unconscious, and it's in hard aspect to both your sun and your moon. So it's almost like every now and again a compulsive drive takes over.
Right. See, that's what I understand. It doesn't seem to me like it's a physical addiction. It seems to be more mental. I don't feel anything physical.
Okay, that's why I'm saying to you, Joe, there are deeper issues at play here. Thank you for being so honest about it, because this is not an easy subject. It's not an easy thing to divulge.
I know.
But I do know, and I do see in your chart, that this is something that occurred at a very early age, and you need someone to help you sort through, because there is a tremendous amount of internal tension that's at play here that can only be uncovered by someone who is skilled in that area.
Joe, is the drug cocaine?
Yes, it is.
Do you know about CA, Cocaine Anonymous?
Yes, I've been to that.
Have you been to that?
Yes, that I didn't find. I didn't really like that too much. I didn't feel comfortable at all.
Okay.
I feel better on a one-to-one counselor.
Yeah, because there's a great need in your from what I'm seeing here, especially when Pluto is tied up with both the sun and the moon, that there is a part of you is very reluctant to be very open in front of groups. You need close encounters,
yeah,
of a near kind.
Right.
But as far as your own personal willpower goes, at this particular time, especially with the other planetary influences that are going on, I would like to recommend that you get some outside help with this. Go and see whatever, I don't know what your finances are, but see if you can't get into some long-range counseling that's going to support you through this period of time, because it's really an opportunity to turn your life around, Joe.
Thank you.
All right, Joe.
I really appreciate the way you handled it.
You're very welcome.
Best of luck to you, Joe, and check back with us, would you? How he is giving us a new kind of water. He has given us probably the most effective air purifier in the world that uses some very, very advanced science. Well, if you get into all of the things that Patrick has done, this would take hours. And, of course, we have spent hours with Patrick doing that. And Lee Holloway, who gives us a whole new look at astrology that's quite different than what you see in the newspapers or... Well, we just found something more real about astrology with the two. Patrick, what else have you been up to?
Well, mainly, you know, Gail and I, as you know, we, as a lot of your listeners have had come to my lectures and seminars and things like that, but I traveled, you know, extensively for a number of years giving seminars, and then when Gail and I got together, we got married in the Great Pyramid of Giza in Egypt, and then we got married.
And you spent
again.
Your wedding night on top of the Great
that's
Pyramid.
Right, that's right. We spent our wedding night on top of the Great Pyramid. And the full moonlight, and then
family show, Patrick. So
right, but Gail, you know, it's interesting because being highly creative since I was a child, it's difficult to travel and lecture and do those things and still be creative. And as a result, Gail and I settled down in a very secret private laboratory in a wide open spaces environment in the mountains of Arizona, and as a result, we haven't traveled anywhere for several years now. And
I know getting you out of there is like pulling teeth.
Staying home becoming mythological, Bill.
So as a result of that, we've come up with quite a few exciting things. We just speaking of the air purifier, we just applied for international patents on it. It is now available throughout Europe in the common market, and also Canada. And we're working on Asia right now, and we found out recently from from New Jersey, the state of New Jersey has run tests on radon gas with our air purifier, and our device eliminates the radioactive daughters, or the bad
radon daughters.
Bad radon daughters. As you know, radon gas itself is inert. It is an inert gas, but when it decays, it creates radioactive byproducts that are highly dangerous, and a lot of homes have radon gas, and it's very difficult to get rid of it. And our device neutralizes the and traps the radon daughters, and it does it without using a filter. It's this purifier, as you mentioned before, is based on an entirely new concept. It's actually it transmutes, for example, it transmutes carbon monoxide into carbon dioxide. It works even without an actual physical filter. It actually purifies the air by means of an electronic field, and it is not a negative ion generator. It's a new concept.
Potential energy?
Well, it's the original research on the device actually came out of working with the relationship of gravity and electricity. And as you may or may not know, Dr. Erwin Saxel, who was a protege of Einstein's, established some time ago that there is a relationship between gravity and electricity. And, of course, T. Townsend Brown obtained patents on unusual devices relating gravity and electricity. Mm-hmm. But it was during my research in this area that I discovered the phenomena that that eventually resulted in the development of the air purification device, which is known as an electron field generator. And so that's, you know, one thing we've been working on. Of course, the other that we feel is extremely important is, of course, the crystal energy concentrate, or the crystal energy water, because the results are so, I mean, they're so incredible that it's, you know, we don't make any claims for the water other than the fact that we are creating highly structured water that you drink, but by coincidence, a lot of incredible things are happening as a result, you know, of using that water. And as I mentioned earlier, we've been continuously researching it and upgrading it and improving it, and at this point in time, I don't think we could improve it anymore. It's so fantastic. We have horses, you know, speaking of horses, some people think that, you know, that drinking water that we say is different might be a psychological effect or a placebo effect, but horses don't respond to placebos, and that's why we're so excited. We have, for example, a racehorse that's, we have two racehorses, one with a bleeder, which means that the capillaries in the lungs are so weak that when it runs that the lungs bleed, and the other one is a non-sweater, which means that when a horse runs, its sweat glands don't work, and the result is that it gets overheated and it could die of heat exhaustion. And because we do have to sweat to cool our bodies, or horses do, or humans do too when they work hard, right, they perspire. However, going back to the horses, the bleeder, the horse that had the lung problem, after it was on our water for 1 week, it stopped bleeding. And the horse has won several races and doesn't need any kind of drugs or anything. It just uses our water, and hemoglobin count went up from a low value up to 17.8, which is quite high, which means that it's getting a lot more oxygen in its system. Its endurance increased. The non-sweater, after 1 week on the water, began to sweat. And all the perspiration, in other words, all its sweat glands started working, and now it's racing. One of our horses that's on our water was in the Breeders' Cup. I came very close to winning.
Nearly did, in fact.
Yeah. So,
in fact, it was ahead for a while.
That's right. It was ahead for most of the race. And so we're very excited because we now have some Olympic athletes on our water. We have
one more quart of water for that horse. And so we put one more quart of water in that horse, and who knows?
That's right. One more quart, it would have made it. we have a world-class Olympic gold medalist runner who holds world record on the water, who after being, this is incredible, after he was on the water for 3 days, he beat his best time in a 5 kilometer run by 2 minutes. And he said it felt like he wasn't even trying. He thought he'd be slower than his normal speed. And he beat his best time when he was running full tilt by 2 minutes after 3 days on the water. It's so incredible what the water does. The water just merely does what water is supposed to do in the body, because our bodies are so polluted from the atmosphere and from poisons and so forth, that when you drink this, it actually it acts as a very powerful cleanser, eliminating tremendous amounts of toxins from the body, and it also efficiently carries nutrients into the system.
It works kind of like with electrical action. Sick and dead and broken down cells are attracted to the colloids by electromagnetic force. Like iron filings are attracted to a magnet. So the colloids carry the decayed or poisonous substances into the bloodstream, and then they're eliminated.
By the way, that's a quote from the 1935 Reader's Digest article on colloids, Bill. It's incredible. One of the things that
I didn't think you could have dreamed it up by yourself.
No. well, the fact is that, you know, it usually takes 50 years for a new discovery to go from the discovery stage to the point at which it's you know, being used by the general public. New inventions, like especially significant inventions, take at least 50 years. Well, way back in 1935, Dr. Macy in New York at the Rockefeller Institute was working with colloids. And one of the experiments he did that's described in that article is they took an orchid that was dying, and this orchid was dead. I mean, it was all withered up. And they put it in a glass, and they poured some colloidal copper mineral into the iodine, into the orchid glass, and within seconds, the orchid was in full bloom and looked perfectly healthy, and it remained that way for another 3 weeks.
Within seconds?
Within seconds. And we've done the same thing with cut flowers. We take cut flowers, divide them in two, put ordinary water in one vase in the same exact water, only with our colloidal crystal energy concentrate in the other vase, and the ones that are in the crystal energy concentrate last 3 weeks longer than the flowers in the ordinary water.
Well, I know that, that you know, we've used your water in, with cut flowers, and it makes a profound difference in the staying power of them and even the beauty of them. And
well,
the animals love it. They get it, too, and it's really good for scotch.
Oh, well, we've heard that.
I spray it on my skin, too, because we spend a lot of time outdoors, and people have been telling me I look 10 years younger than the last time they saw me.
Oh, my goodness, you look like a 5-year-old.
Yeah. You say all the right things, Bill.
Frankie is on the line, and he wants to talk to you, too, about something I know that you have a little bit of information on.
Okay.
Crystals.
Okay.
Frankie?
Hi. Yes. First of all, where can I get the water?
Okay. Good question.
That is a good question. As I mentioned earlier, there is now a company called Unimont, and Unimont is one of the most fantastic. Klaus Ritter, who organized that company, is a genius. One of the largest accounting firms there in Los Angeles went out to his office just to look at his filing system because he's come up with a whole new way of filing that completely replaces all the old filing systems. Anyway, they're fantastic, but what I wanted to say is that Unimont is right there in Los Angeles, and all you have to do is call them up.
I have the number.
We have a telephone number for you.
Okay. He has a very unique marketing system, so when you do call him up, just tell him that you heard it. You heard from Gail and Patrick on KABC.
Okay.
And they'll take care of the rest.
Say those magic words,
right.
KABC.
Right.
Those
magic words.
And the number is, of course, it's in L.A., so it's 213-720 1107.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right,
okay.
Frankie.
Okay, another question. Wearing crystals, what do they do for you? Because my husband and I both wear them. And I wonder, you know, what the properties are.
You should see Gail.
I can cover this.
Gail carries 35 pounds of crystals in her handbag. All the time.
She is the crystal bag lady.
She is the crystal bag lady. But
I carry them in my pocket, too.
Oh, that's great. Gail and I can both answer your question. From a scientific viewpoint, I've done studies with crystals and found out that certain types of crystals, when worn on the body, actually have a balancing effect on the acupuncture meridian system. We used a device called an AccuScope for testing these, and they do energize the body. And the mechanism by which crystals work is the fact that all substances in the universe radiate energy. Crystals happen to be highly structured. Quartz crystals, by the way, have a structure that is very similar to the structure of the Great Pyramid, that is on a molecular level. And so when you wear the crystal, it actually transmits structuring energy into the energy field of the body.
Okay, now my husband has a carnelian on his with the crystal. Does that enhance
the
attraction?
Well, different. Gail can answer that, but basically,
carnelians were reputedly both curative and had protective powers. You know, the early Egyptians carved beads and insects and insignias
mm-hmm.
with their carnelian. The high priest wore carnelian. It's very, very highly regarded.
Yeah, I have a ring that I never take off as carnelian.
Okay, well, it's worn for protection, maybe.
Uh-huh. Okay.
As a talisman.
Frankie, I can tell you this, that my wife Evelyn, the great non-believer of all time, wears a crystal around her neck that was given to her by Dale Walker. And she got a little wart on her little hand. And she rubbed the little wart with the little crystal that Dale gave her. And the little wart went away. And she is no longer a non-believer.
Remember the day we were visiting Bill, and she had that pain in her neck, and intuitively
right.
I took out the crystal egg, and I went right for the spot and fixed it.
Yeah, so
does it have to have any particular shape? I mean, cut, like I have it's this oblong cut. It's almost like a diamond cut. My husband has sort of, you know, the normal looks like a crystal. Does it matter?
Yes, it does. Different shapes have different properties. For example, a sphere, a crystal ball was cut into a sphere for prophesizing or for giving certain psychic readings. The geometric configuration has a lot to do with the particular type of energy that it emanates. I feel that if you're wearing it on your person, it's nice to have its natural form.
Mm-hmm.
There are two types of crystals. There's the, well, there are more than two, but basically there's the leaded crystal, which is composed of quartz. Sometimes, it all depends on how they're made now, and then the prismatic crystal, which does not have the power of a crystal that's grown in its natural environment, grown by nature.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that
well,
for healing purposes, wear the natural stone. And at the Bodhi tree, they have a wonderful selection.
And also at the Alexandria 2 bookshop, as you heard earlier.
Yeah, don't forget Alexandria 2.
Right.
Mine's got kind of is a kind of a pyramid shape.
Who is this now?
This is her husband, Doug.
Oh, hi.
He has five on the line.
Well, no, I thought I was losing control.
Pyramid, of course.
Mine's got, it's set in silver, and it's got a carnelian on the top, and it's kind of, it looks like the Rock of Gibraltar.
Hexagonal, you get another effect.
Yeah.
They're really quite complicated, effects. In other words, the primary effect is the radiation from the crystal itself, and then the secondary effect is the shape.
It's got five sides on it.
Bill, shut up for a minute.
Five sides? Yeah.
Somebody told somebody to shut
yes.
up there.
Don't you guys have a book out on crystals?
We're working on several books right now.
Several.
We're combining, we're writing a book on water, actually, and the book on water, because water is actually a liquid crystal. The book on water will actually have a tremendous amount of crystal information in it. It'll be different from other crystal books because it's from different, you know, different research data.
Mm-hmm.
Also, but, if you're into crystals, guys, I invite you to join me next week. Master Ho of Heidi Ho Enterprises will be here, who is lecturing all over the world or all over the country. Well, outside of the country,
week.
Too. And so he'll be here, and he certainly can answer the questions about crystals.
Okay,
one
great.
Last
thank
on
you
crystals.
Very much.
I would like to say one more thing on crystals. Is you should look at crystals as sort of creatures or beings or entities. They're very much alive. Crystals are vibrating millions of times per second. It's not just an object. It actually is a being.
Mm-hmm.
It's
the most
growing.
The most incredible display I have seen, and we'll have it again October 11th with Nick Massarino, is the crystal skulls.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Uh-huh.
So don't miss that.
I won't.
And those things blow your mind.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank
You're
you
welcome.
For joining us. I'm Bill Jenkins. It's Open Mind. With me, Dr. Patrick Flanagan and Gail Flanagan.
Good evening.
Jenny.
Oh, Jenny, excuse me.
Hi.
Hi, Jenny.
Hi. Okay, well, I'm a Cancer. And
Jenny?
Yeah.
We know all of that.
No. Let me tell Jenny something.
Okay.
Jenny, you're the last day of Gemini.
Yeah.
You are not a Cancer.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Isn't that a surprise?
Because I know I've been on the border, but, you know, it's always been...
Why I wanted to tell you, because you're so close to the end. You're the last day of Gemini. And you do have Mercury in Cancer, so your thought processes are a little bit different than typical Gemini. But you are the last day of Gemini, so I want you to know that. So when you start listening to things and reading things about your sign... Look up Gemini and not Cancer.
Okay.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
Now, your question for me is, how about school?
Yeah, I would just, I'm going to start high school. I'm going to be a sophomore, and I'm going to be in new high school, and I've got, you know, a lot of really tough classes. I just wouldn't, you know, like to know how I'm going to do academically, maybe. You know?
Well, first of all, let me tell you something that I discovered in looking at your chart.
Mm-hmm.
You're a lot brighter than you really give yourself credit for.
Uh-huh.
There is a configuration in your chart that Saturn is hooked up with your Mercury, which indicates a real tendency to be fearful of being made wrong. And I want you to relax a little bit with that. It may have been from a parent who had the best interest, you know, at heart for you, but just was a little overly strict, or that did not allow you to communicate what you really thought and what you really felt, or perhaps a sense of really being important. So a fear of risking, a fear of risking and presenting your ideas can make you tense up when it comes to being tested, when it comes to presenting yourself before other people and what you really think about things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's right. How'd I know that?
I don't know.
Maybe there's something to all this.
Yeah.
But what I want to tell you, Jenny, is that this has been a little bit of a difficult period of time for Geminis, and you know, it's not quite through, but there is some help coming for you next year. You're going to get it more in the spring than you will in the fall of this year. So just the main thing for you to do, in order for you to allay some of these fears that you have, these natural fears, is there's a part of you that really likes to wing it, really likes to be spontaneous and play and,
yeah,
you know what I'm talking
uh-huh.
about?
Yeah.
But I have to tell you that with this one configuration, if you will just allow yourself a little more preparation time for your studies, you're going to find that you're going to feel a lot better about things.
Okay.
So don't go in. When you go in this fall, recognize that the environment is going to be new for you. It's going to be a great deal of fun. Don't be so fearful of what other people are going to think about your views, but be sure to be prepared going in.
Mm-hmm.
Give it that extra hour of study in the evening, especially during the first quarter, okay?
Okay.
Okay, good luck.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
All right. The young one's always curious about these sort of things.
She's just so cute, you can reach through the airwaves.
Patrick, we had a question earlier. I think it was Nancy that asked the question. Do you remember?
Pardon?
Before you came, a lady from Catalina was wondering why was the strange activity going on with the animals over there. You know, she said something strange was going on in Avalon. We conjured up one thing, but she was telling us the animals were acting funny. The birds were getting away and the sheep and the cows and everything. And it seemed to be related some way with the swarm of earthquakes we've been having over Southern
sure.
California.
Sure, animals react quickly.
Well, you know, as you know, all earthquake activity, or as you may not know, but all earthquake activity is preceded by the, there are a lot of crystalline materials in the Earth's core, and shifting of surfaces down there create very powerful electrical signals in the ELF range, and animals happen to be particularly sensitive to these. That's why in China, one of the first earthquake prediction systems was based on responsive animals, because by observing animals, they were able to fairly accurately predict the last great earthquake in China that would have killed millions if they had not paid attention to the animals and moved people, you know, at the precise time. So, you know, it's very possible that that may be a cause. There's no way of knowing for sure what the cause is, but with all the earthquake activity you've been observing, that's a highly likely, you know, possibility.
Well, there's another school of thought as we delve into a new science of which I know you're familiar, scalar interferometer.
Right.
That one of the natural interferometers is a fault line.
Right.
And another natural interferometer is the left and right hemisphere of any brain.
Absolutely.
And as this reducing thing back to zero happens, which is what an interferometer does, the small interferometers, such as found in the birds and whatever, are certainly adversely affected by those intense those waves that are put up.
Well, humans can be just as sensitive, but unfortunately, we all have polluted ourselves. That is, you know, as a human race, with our diets and with the way we live and so forth. That
and the water we're drinking.
Yeah, and the water most people are drinking anyway, all have that effect of occluding some of our natural senses, because otherwise we too would be able to sense these things and do something about it. Then, of course, you know, there's also a lot of man-made scalar activity, which could also be responsible.
Well, we certainly have watched a great deal of man-made scalar activity in the last 3 weeks around here of rather intense levels.
Mm-hmm.
In monitoring that very closely.
Right, of course, and that can interact, as you said, with the a fault line interferometer and create shifting or stress releases, which could manifest as earthquakes. So, I mean, in other words, the earthquakes could also, you know, be generated, as you know, by man-made interference, or at least affected by man-made interference.
Well, we noticed one thing here, because we realized that this was man-made interference a lot of times, but one of the signatures of that is that the scalar waves will attack linear electric transmissions.
Right. Right.
Like microwaves.
Uh-huh.
And there's quite a story here last week of how the microwave reporting devices that are used by the state of California, particularly along their reservoirs and water lines, were reporting things that weren't there.
Uh-huh.
Like they went amok.
Sure.
Well, I was just dumbfounded to find out that that didn't happen. It's just a scalar fingerprint, isn't it?
Right.
Well, that ought to get somebody thinking.
Yeah, they're gonna, all the hotels in Arizona are going to be full now.
They seem to have quietened it down over there for just a little while. All right. You're listening to Open Mind tonight, and with me is Dr. Patrick Flanagan and Gail Flanagan from Arizona. Patrick here to talk about, well, most anything scientific that may be on your mind. Lee Holloway has graciously stayed over because the board was just full of calls who wanted to know some more about right now. Elizabeth, welcome aboard.
Oh, hi. Bill Jenkins, your program is wonderful.
Thank you,
and
Mother.
And I get so cross when you're preempted by a ball game.
I do the way they've been playing a lot.
Well, I don't listen. I prefer to listen to you.
Oh, sweet of you. Thank you.
Lee Holloway was talking earlier about something to do with Gemini.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand, I was told by someone that I have Gemini rising with Saturn in the rising sign. What can you tell me, Lee?
Well, first of all, I wish that I knew exactly what the degree was of your rising, but typically if we're talking about...
I don't know.
Okay. First of all, Saturn is not in the sign of Gemini. It is in the sign of Sagittarius, and it's opposing the sign of Gemini. So that can place it in your chart either in the sixth house of health, of immediate surroundings in your work environment, or it can place it in the area of your relationships, of partnerships, of the mate, the husband. Wherever Saturn travels in the chart, Saturn is what we astrologers call the planet of reality. You get no more than you actually deserve with Saturn, and it's the great teacher. So whenever it's moving through a particular area of one's chart, it pinches a little bit in the areas where you haven't learned the lessons pertaining to that particular sphere of activity. So, for instance, if we're going to assume that you've got a Gemini rising and it may be early degrees of Gemini, then you might have Saturn moving through your seventh house.
Well, I was born in Canada.
Well, that won't kill me.
Okay. Right.
Thank you, anyway. But basically, some of the things that you might have taken, the one way to identify it is, have you, during the last 2 years, have you experienced any difficulty, particularly in the area of health?
Oh, Lord, yes.
Okay. So then I think what we're going to say is Saturn's been moving through your sixth house, which has been saying to you, it's been bringing to you lessons about taking care of your physical body, and you're reaping the rewards of how you have either honored and paid homage to your body or how you've abused it. If you haven't taken care of it properly, then there are going to be areas where the body lets you know where you've fallen down so that you learn those lessons so that you can begin to do something new with that. Does that help you?
Well, lungs, yes. I stopped smoking 4 years ago.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Okay, wonderful. Well, it's a fabulous time for you to go on to a new health regimen. So we're going to assume that the sixth house Saturn now, so this is the time to rebuild the physical energy.
Oh, good.
Good for you.
Great. Well, this is what I'm trying to do.
Take care.
Tell me, have you anything to say, and maybe Dr. Flanagan, about capillary fragility?
Patrick, jump in there. This is out of my mind.
Dr. Flanagan, he might be able
to... only tell you if of course, capillary fragility may be related to dietary deficiencies. For example, if I personally had capillary fragility, I would go to a health food store and I'd get some bioflavonoids and also some vitamin K.
Someone told me about K. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I would take those. It's interesting, the case I mentioned earlier about the racehorse.
Yes.
And the leader. Well, that's due to capillary fragility of the lungs. And, of course, in that case, bioflavonoids and vitamin K didn't help the racehorse. And as a matter of fact, until our water came along, the only thing that would help was a medical diuretic called Lasix, which is highly dangerous, which they've outlawed in some racing circles.
Well, I've put crystals in water
Well, unfortunately, when you put crystals in water, there is a change. I used to teach that in my seminars, but basically when you put the crystals in the water, you do get a change in the structure of water, but it's fleeting. It's very temporary because when you take the crystal out of the water and then you agitate or you stir the water, you tend to break the bonds that have been formed and the water is no longer structured. And that's what's so nice about the crystal energy concentrate is that we're actually adding small, highly charged minerals to the water, and the little minerals act like seeds for crystals to grow around. In other words, they act like a nucleus for the water crystal structure to form around. And the more of these little colloids you add, the more nuclei there are for these structured water complexes.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we drink the water, we're drinking the little seeds with it. In other words, we're drinking the little crystals with it. So that
this is the Unimoto water.
Pardon?
This is the Unimoto.
Unimont.
Right.
It's actually called Unimont calls it what we do, crystal energy concentrate.
Unimont. Oh, okay.
But yes, that's the same water.
You mean we're drinking those little creatures?
Yes.
Absolutely. Just it's interesting going back to Hunzaland when the people in Hunzaland, when Betty Lee Morales originally went there. And she ate dinner with the king of the Hunza. She was sitting at the table, and they gave her and her husband a glass of crystal clear water.
Mm-hmm.
And all the little Hunza people had cloudy water. And she said, well, how come my water is clear and yours is cloudy? And the mirror said, well, we don't drink the water from the well. And she said, well, why? They said, well, we prefer the cloudy water because it's what makes us, it gives us our health. And then he said that people from the West tend to think that if the water was cloudy, that it's bad. And of course, that's true. In other words, in areas of certain kinds of pollution, the water will be cloudy, and it's not due to colloids, it's due to bacteria. So,
you mean LA tap water?
Right, like LA tap water. But the fact is that it's the little colloids, the little charged particles. And so it's interesting that I mentioned earlier, carrot juice has a lot of these little particles, but the problem is the particles are ephemeral. They die in a very short period of time, whereas our little crystals that we create, and also the Hunza crystals, are so stable that they can be microwaved, they can be boiled, they can be frozen, all kinds of things can be done to them, and they still maintain this powerful electric charge that actually causes a structuring effect on water.
You see, Elizabeth, you ask a question, you get an answer.
That's wonderful, wonderful. Later on, could he tell us where to get the air purifiers?
Well, how about him doing that right now?
And, well, I want to say thank you very much to you and to Lee for answering my question, and I'll listen on the radio.
Right.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. If you're interested in anything other than the crystal energy concentrate, you can write. Just drop a note to our post office box in Marin County, which is P.O. Box 686. Novato, N-O-V-A-T-O, California, 94948. So if you just drop a line there to Flanagan Research or just to Gail and I at that P.O. box, and you ask about the air purifier, I'll be happy to send you information on it or tell you how to get it.
It's Box 686, Novato, N-O-V-A-T-O, California, 94948.
All right. But while we're giving numbers, Lee, I know that we've got a number of requests here of how someone wants to reach you. How do we do
certainly.
That?
Certainly. Yes, I do private consultations and my telephone.
Hello, Sherry.
Hi, how are you?
Well, I'm fine.
I love your show.
I love you.
Oh, thank you. I have a question for Lee. I wanted to ask about my son.
Sherry, when's his birthday?
February 27th.
Mm-hmm. What year?
74.
1974.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What's the question, Sherry?
Well, he seems to have a behavioral problem that started when he was born, and it only gets worse each year, and I know every teacher he's ever had intimately. I've spent hours and hours with them, and nobody seems to know how to reach him, and I'm really at my wit's end as to what to do. Because he seems to be missing out on so much in life because he's so busy having all these problems.
And this has been since birth?
Yes.
Well, I'm looking here at his chart.
Uh-huh.
And I got to tell you that he's got an aspect. Well, first of all, he's very strongly influenced with Pisces, the sign of Pisces. which is a very fanciful sign anyway. It's a sign that is one of those areas that has difficulty dealing with the everyday world because they're so caught up in the rich inner world, fanciful world, the imagination, daydreaming. They're very, very sensitive. This is a very, very sensitive young man. In many ways, what goes on inside of him is he picks up the vibrations of other people around him so strongly
mm-hmm.
that he is overwhelmed by his environment. One of the things that I want you to help him with is to recognize that these energies are not his. Some of the things that you can tell him is, you know, if you were feeling all right and someone else came into your life and they, you know, all of a sudden you began to feel anxious or upset or concerned, pay attention to when that happened and recognize that that's not your energy. Pisces is a very hard sign to protect themselves. It's a very difficult sign to keep out the influences, the outside stimuli. And with this kind of sensitivity going on, it's very difficult, especially since he's got Neptune also squaring his sun. It means that he has a hard time focusing and concentrating. I will also tell you he's got another influence here, which is Mars squaring his sun. And Mars squaring the sun always indicates the potential for withheld anger.
Oh, yes.
Okay? He does not know how to express his anger, Sherry.
Oh, I know.
You've got to help him by realizing that mm-hmm. he has every right to his emotions.
Mm-hmm.
This is a child who lives in his emotions, is rich in his emotions. Validate his emotions. You've got to get him into someone who can tell him it's okay to feel. As a matter of fact, it's one of the richest things that he will ever have. He has a gift that a lot of people will never have. He needs to get to someone who can validate the fact that he has the right to be angry, that there are things that he picks up that are really reasons to be angry, and he's got to be taught how to become more expressive of that anger in a positive way. Do you understand what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So you're a little bit prone to be very worrisome about this. I was looking at your chart a little bit earlier. And what I want you to do is to recognize that this is a child who is going to pick up your vibrations very, very strongly. That anxiety that you feel about him, he gets. You don't have to say a word, and he gets it, okay?
Uh-huh.
So please do something about getting him to somebody who can help him get in touch with his anger and process it. And
okay.
You relax a little bit. Okay?
All right, Sherry.
Okay, great.
Did that help you?
It helps me a lot.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
Appreciate
very
you
welcome.
Checking in. It's Open Mind on KABC. I want you to make it real quick. I think it's for Dr. Flanagan and Gail.
Yeah. Dr. Flanagan?
Yes.
I would like to know, it's relating to quartz crystals. I've seen and been in a lot of shows that people sell crystals. I was at some place today that was selling crystals. The crystals, they tell me that what I want to know is whether or not the shape, the natural shape, is has more vibrations coming off the end of it, as opposed to the same crystal being polished and changing the shape of the point.
Yeah. Well, that basically depends on how perfectly structured the natural shape is. For example, a crystal that is pointed, naturally pointed or naturally terminated at a point, especially if it's double terminated,
right.
It's very powerful. But if it's a crystal that's been broken or something, sometimes shaping it and polishing it back to the natural shape is ideal. And
well, a lot of the crystals have even like a pyramid, pyramidal type
right.
point on them.
Right.
And
yeah.
Is that any more significant or less significant than the natural shape?
No, it is more significant. Yes. A lot of them are hexagonal pyramids. It's interesting, by the way, I might add that the geometry of the crystal is such that if you were to take the crystal and hold it in front of you so that it's vertical and draw a line right under the point, the angle of the side of that point to that line is exactly the same as the angle of the base of the Great Pyramid in Egypt.
Hmm.
I'm talking about, which is truly amazing.
That was wasn't a secondary question. What significant effect would the angle of the Great Pyramid have on a crystal shape, if any?
Well, it does, because that particular angle happens to be a resonant impedance matching device for some of the energy phenomena we've observed with pyramids. As you know or may not know, I wrote the book Pyramid Power years
right,
ago.
Right, I have the book.
Right. And but basically, that's the whole subject of crystals. All life is crystalline, even the human body, even though it's made up of colloidal minerals, those minerals form crystalline structures. And so a crystal is sort of the highest form of perfection of any given system. For example, as our blood and as the bodily fluids, for example, become more crystalline and more perfected, they have more energy. And so the higher, the more perfect your crystals are, for example, quartz crystals or whatever, the higher their energy.
Most people, most jewelers, that is, that when they hang a crystal, the point is always down. Would that have any significance?
Not really. Mainly because they don't want to hurt the point. It's better to, whether it's down or up doesn't really matter.
I see. Well, thank you very much.
All right. And we have just about run out of time, Patrick. We certainly want to thank you and Gail for jumping on the phone out there in Arizona and joining us tonight.
Thank you, Bill. By the way, can we get Unimon's phone number in real fast?
Sure.
Okay. For those people interested in the water, it's area code 213-720-1107.
All right. You have got that. And best of luck on the water.
Thank you.
And we're looking forward to seeing you two again as soon as possible. Lee Holloway, thank you for coming in tonight.
Thank you, Bill.
And giving us another look at astrology. You're such a delight. All of you are. Next week, Master Ho will be here, and we will continue the discussion on that ever-popular subject here in Southern California, the crystal, its amazing properties. So, see you then.
KABC Talk Radio 79.
Welcome into this Saturday night. For the next 3 hours, it's open mind. Middle of the summer, we're not going to be touched at all by baseball, the Dodger baseball games, except one more time in August. So it'll be you and I through September having a great, great time, taking time to expand our mind. That's why we call it open mind. And you'll need one to get along with us here. Now, we get accused of being a show that deals with psychic phenomena. We don't ordinarily deal with psychic phenomena. We deal with what we call a new age reality. We deal with a new way of thinking, or what I call a new reality of thinking. We deal with things that are extremely new. In fact, in the very vanguard of science. In fact, they're such a vanguard of science that a lot of science doesn't know about the science that we are vanguarding about here. But that is all right. They will learn about it later. And we also deal with the very ancient information, the wisdom of the ancients and of human experience. And within that framework of ancient skills and ancient understanding are a lot of things that have a very, very deep, meaningful place in our world today. And quite often we cast them aside, or we look upon them as jokes, or we look at them as just sort of crossword puzzles of life that have no great meaning at all. Well, we're here to suggest to you that there is some great meaning to a great deal of a lot of the wisdom of the ancients. We certainly know the ancients knew what they were doing. They did build the pyramids. We can't. They fashioned together the statues on Easter Island. We can't. They built the marvelous Nazca Plains in the Andes Mountains. We can't. They built an incredible civilization in Atlantis, and we can't. In fact, if you look at the litany and the actual recorded history as given to us by the ancient Sumerians and the Babylonians, and even our own Bible, and the artifacts that are with us today, we find that the ancients, in their wisdom, built a world then that we can't now. They wrote music that we can't, and painted paintings that we can't, and wrote poems that we can't. But we can learn from them, and we can wonder what has happened to us, and why can't we? one of those very ancient of skills and sciences that somehow or another through its ages lost its great wisdom and lost its science and its physics and dynamics and became something very, very mystical that we now kind of play with. It was something that was very important to the ancients and indeed to our very earliest of what we would call our scientists. And that was the great, great influence upon us as individuals that happens at the earliest moments of our being on this planet in earth form or in physical form, and how those energies that was exerted by the planets and the celestials around us affected the way we are and the way we think. And it is very definite that energy is very well impressed upon us, like it or not, and believe it or not. And we're talking about the ancient science lost somewhere along the line of astrology. However, we have an opportunity now to reacquaint ourselves with what the ancients were doing because of an open mind. Not mine, but hopefully yours. And I welcome back to Open Mind, Miss Lee Holloway. Lee, welcome.
Thank you, Bill. It's good to be here.
Lee is an astrologer. Oh, but not the kind of astrologer you read in the newspapers with all reference to my good friend, or, you know, due reverence to my good friend Sidney Omar and color writer. We're talking about astrology of a different order than what they do. What is astrology to you, Lee?
Astrology is a way for me to look at the makeup of an individual, the psychological makeup, the way that the forces, the elements, have impacted them at the moment of birth. It indicates their strengths, their weaknesses, the gifts, the inherent gifts that they have, and the lessons that they came in to learn. Because along with my belief in the science of astrology, and it is both a science and an art, is also my belief that we have a lot of time to work our lessons out. We don't do it all just one time.
Oh, so, you mean we've been here before and we may be here again?
Well, listen, I sort of got that feeling. I mean, I can't prove it, I can't document it, but it just is one of the only things that makes any sense to me at all. How could some of the people that we've seen in our lives go through and make such horrendous impact on the planet and on the world and only have the experience of dying in retribution for what they have done? See, because my recognition of what the life force is, as an astrologer, I'm also a human being, I'm a spiritual human being, I have a great awareness of that spiritualness in each of us.
I can certainly attest to the fact that you're a human being.
Thank you, Bill.
She's gorgeous.
Thank you.
She's gorgeous.
But at any rate, so astrology to me is a very nice way of blending the physical and the metaphysical. And when I speak of metaphysical, that is everything that is above and beyond the five senses. And when I say beyond that, I mean an extension of the five senses, as if it were a higher octave. Our ability to know and perceive in ways other than just the five senses. And when I look at a chart of someone, an individual, I can tell about their childhood circumstances, some of the lessons that they have come in to learn.
How accurate is you're looking? Is that really accurate?
It's very accurate. But I want to explain again. I've been on the show before, and I've said this before. But I want to explain again to the listeners that astrology does not take away their free will. It does not. There is a level of destiny about it. I mean, we live in a universe that has a rhythm, a universal order. We don't have to worry about the sun coming up tomorrow. We don't have to worry about spring, summer, winter, and fall.
I don't know if they keep it up out there. We may have to worry about those things.
Well, I really don't think we do. I really don't think so. But at any rate, I mean, what I'm saying is that we live in a world that's accountable, that makes rhyme and reason and sense. And the more we can understand about ourselves and that we flow within that universal order, that we are one with the universe and that the universe impacts us, the better we have a greater chance to control our lives.
How does the universe impact us at, say, around the time of birth?
Well, first of all, the impact...
In that period.
In that, well, from the moment that we are born, the planets, and you as a man in the radio field, certainly know that there are certain periods of time when the planets are at hard angles that transmissions are interrupted.
How about last week and the week before? I was going to shoot down Mercury. You know, I was really getting tired of Mercury being in retrograde.
Missed appointments, missed phone calls, people showing up at the wrong place at the wrong time.
The planet needed to be nuked.
Well, actually, it's an interesting phenomena. And what you're talking about is, of course, Mercury, which is the planet of communication that rules the area of radio.
And becomes a time non-communicator.
Yeah, and there's a phenomena that where Mercury appears to go retrograde backwards. That's not really true, but it appears to do that. And during that period of time, there's about a 2 or 3 week period of time, 2 to 3 times each year, when that phenomena occurs. And lots of crazy things seem to happen. As I said, I was going under the same thing, and I know all about it. And when Mercury goes retrograde, you need to double-check all of your appointments. You can't arrive someplace and have
Was it just me and every single human being I know that this last episode we have, which just ended a couple of days
yes.
ago, was extremely intense?
Yes.
Did the Russians do that?
I don't think so.
Did they get it?
I know they've got power, but I don't think it's that big.
I hope they got it, too.
No, it affected everyone, and it particularly affects those people who are in the communications-related media.
But isn't everybody in communication?
Sure.
Every human
But
being?
Particularly those people who have to make a living at it, Bill. Right. Not everybody comes out here and sits down and says, you know, this is what we've got, this is what you should buy for, this is what we're showing you.
My cat, who always talks to me, wouldn't even talk to me for the last 2 weeks.
It sounds like you were undergoing a particularly stressful period of time, Bill.
Mercury moved into my family room in retrograde. Go ahead.
We can all celebrate that Mercury has now moved direct again, and life has resumed a more normal course. But in response to one of the many questions that you put before me is, you know, what is astrology? What does it do? What can I see when I look at a chart? Basically, that's one of the questions that I think I heard you ask. I can tell, because we are, I don't want to upset anyone's belief system out there, but in case you are not...
Wait a minute. You're on open mind.
oh, I see. Okay.
And that's what
All right,
about.
Good. Wonderful. Well, then I'm just going to let it fly.
Blowing belief systems.
For all of those people out there who were in the... of a mind that we live in a physical universe that has substance, I have to tell you that that's all an illusion. That in reality... There is no physical universe. Everything is an energy flow. And because the energy flow varies, there's a different vibration. The table appears to be solid to me. The telephone appears to be solid. There are certain things that are moving at a different frequency that appear to be solid that do not coincide with mine. Otherwise, I'd sink through the chair. So because of the fact that we live in a world that is... basically, just energy. The moment that we are born, every energy in the universe impacts us. Now, some of those energies are very harmonious. Some of those energies give us a natural joy and zest.
You say harmonious in relation to what?
In relation to the positions at the time that we are born. There are energies that conflict. Some energies conflict with others. Some vibrations do not... mesh as well with others. And so we have a conflicting energy pattern, especially when you've got two planets moving at what we call a hard angle, a square it's called in astrology. And it's very much like what a square is in everyday living. It is where two points collide. And what happens when you have this energy, where these two energies collide, it's equivalent to a fighting of one energy trying to occupy the same space as another energy.
Lee, that happens every day here at KABC.
Bill, You are so Nixie tonight. You are so. I have to tell everyone.
Mercury's
that Bill. No, no, but Bill is enjoying a personal new moon tonight. He is a Libra, and he has the moon in his own sun sign tonight. So we're just going to be loving and gentle and let him have fun. Congratulations.
Are we all in trouble?
No, we're just enjoying it.
Am I being flippant with you?
No, you're having fun. And I understand what you're doing. You're making light about certain situations because, you know, to believe that there is a higher power and that we're part of the universal order somehow is kind of awesome.
Well, if you want to be enlightened, you have to lighten up.
Yeah, you do. It's true.
Yeah.
We're going to be light tonight, too.
I want you to prove what you're talking about just a little bit.
Oh, okay.
I said some very poetic things about you in the beginning of the show.
Did you?
Did you see how they just rolled out of my... Oh, I didn't write that. Did you see any notes in front
no,
of me?
No, I didn't see any notes. I have to tell them I did not see any notes.
Because I just so happened to believe what I said.
Yes.
And I believe in what you do.
Thank you, Bill.
I am impressed with what you do.
Thank you.
Which is the reason you're here.
Yeah.
Plus the fact you're pretty.
You'll have to take his word for that.
And delightful.
Thank you.
So, what I would like to do is open up the lines to the callers, but I... And let them deal with an astrologer who will take a look at their chart
okay.
and do some things.
Right.
But I would ask the callers to do us all a favor, if they can.
Sure.
And I think you would appreciate this, too. As interesting as your job may be, or your love life may be, and all of these personal things of yours may be, and I don't want you to not ask those questions, but you've got to remember that there are a whole bunch of us that are in on this party line, and we don't really care about your job and your love life as much as you do, although we want it to all be very good. If you could phrase your questions where we could all get involved in what you have to offer or your questions for Lee, that would be greatly appreciated by all of us. And let's go with this for a little while. Also, I want to remind you that a little bit later on tonight, in an hour or so, Dr. Patrick Flanagan will be joining us and his lovely wife, Gail. And Lee, I want you to stay because there's a correlation to the world of advanced science and the world that you're into.
Yeah.
If you don't mind, I would love
and
for you to
I
stay.
Thank you very much. I would love to. And I'm very excited about the areas, the explosions of technology that are going on that have been forecast for some time from
there,
the
yeah.
area of astrology. Yes, they are. And we have not seen the pinnacle of that yet. We have not seen the peak. We're just at the threshold.
Yeah, if they're... You know,
yeah.
the new scientists that are here. So you'll have a chance to explore that with Patrick and Gail. They've got a lot of you have a lot of questions about the powers of crystals, and of course they know as much about that as anybody in the world. So we do have quite a night in store for you, and in a moment we'll start getting to your calls for Lee Holloway. Make them as general. And, you know, I would like to be interested in what you're talking about too. You know.
Okay. Well, hopefully, you know, there's enough of humanness in each of us that sometimes the dilemma, which is why psychology programs are so interesting, because sometimes even though we may not be the same sign as someone who's calling in, there may be similar circumstances going on in our life because of the complexity of astrology. You may have a Gemini. For instance, one of our colors I see on the board is going to be a Gemini. But you may have a Cancer who is born with their sun in Cancer and lots of planets in Gemini who are undergoing some of the similar things that a Gemini sun is going through. And sometimes you get more identification from people because of the complexity of the science. Remember, all of these planets are somewhere in our life. Just because we're talking to a Gemini and their work does not mean that it may not have some influence that someone else may not be able to identify with the struggle or the dilemma that's going on, even though they may not know it's because they've got a lot of heavy Gemini influence going on in their chart.
Can we send Mercury to Taurus or something?
We can't. Huh. We can't. We honestly can't.
Better
it's here
it
for good, Bill.
Hmm.
But it is direct now, so hopefully this is going to just fly tonight.
What a trick that last one was. I'm Bill Jenkins. It's Open Mind. We'll be back with you at Lee Market. Away. My guest is Lee Holloway, an astrologer extraordinaire. I say that not just to be poetic with you, because she is not the general kind of astrologer. She is, I think, very, very down to earth and realizes the science behind astrology, is not too interested at all in the mysticism and the fol-de-rol that goes with astrology. She, like me, she could care less. But we want to give you some examples of how that works, and we're going to talk to Barbara. Hello, Barbara.
Hello.
Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Lee. Your voice sounds so nice.
Thank you.
I'm a Gemini.
Barbara, do you have... It's pretty general. You've got up here any comments you just want to know about yourself.
I must tell everybody, so you know where Lee is coming from. When Barbara checked in, she had to give her name, her birthday, and that's on the computer here, so...
Yes.
That gives us a little advantage, so we're not really that psychic here on the computer.
The reason why I would prefer not to just go into generalizations about each one of the signs is because if I did that, we wouldn't have enough time to really get you anything you might be interested in.
All right, I have a couple of questions.
Let me tell you just one thing before you give me a question, okay?
All right.
This period of time in your life may be involved very much with something that began about 7 years ago. 6 to 8 years ago, you may have been in a process, decision-making process, or you may have made a change. If the things that are going on in your life right now do not correlate to that time frame, you may look back as far as 14 years ago. Because you're in what we call right now a Saturn cycle. And basically what that means, Barbara, is that this is a period of time that can either be a period of great fruition for good endeavors, for really putting your work together and really following through with it, or it can be a period fraught with a great deal of difficulty, a feeling of isolation, of separation, maybe perhaps difficulty with loved one, a husband, a mate. And so I want you to recognize that this may in many ways look like a breaking down period before a building up period, but that only need occur if the choices that you have made have been incorrect for you. Am I addressing any part of your life right now?
There's no, I have no love life at this time.
Okay. Have you recently broken off with someone?
No. I just have, the last 20 years, I've been just by myself, more or less, with just my daughter.
Okay. This is a very marvelous time, Barbara, for you to begin something new in your life. The way that you have structured your life up to this point perhaps is not as nurturing and as beneficial as you would like it to be. Typically, Saturn is not a very gregarious energy. So it's not one of those times when you're going to feel very good getting out and socializing. But I want you to think seriously about the way your life has been going for the last 7 years, and to begin to think about how you can open this up. You're a very outgoing spirit, basically. You've got a sun in Gemini and a moon in Aquarius, Saturn in Aries, so you need some level of socializing. You will always need some level also of being able to follow your own independent path. So I want you to begin to think about what it is that you want to pursue with your life right now, because this is a good time to build new structures, even though it may be fraught with some feelings of self-doubt or aloneness or some isolation. What you do now can be very good for you in the long run.
Could I ask a couple of questions?
Please.
The first one is, why do I always have this feeling of anxiety inside of myself, and that I have to get things finished before I won't be here anymore? I keep thinking, I've got to get this stuff done for my daughter, and I've got to, you know, I just got to get things done and in order in my life.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, there's a great deal of drive behind what you do because you've got Mars in Scorpio. Mars in Scorpio is indicative of a great deal of determination, of the need. It's almost, in some people, it can manifest as compulsiveness to do things, drive behind that. Further behind that, we see Saturn in Aries, which indicates perhaps some crystallization and fear centered around the ego. Do you know what I'm talking about? I'm very frequently, people who come into this life with Saturn in Aries have a good deal of fear of approval, that they are not going to meet with approval for other people, even though they may appear that that's not important to them. So you may be setting up some high standards and some things that you are trying to meet in order to satisfy this great sense of lack of a real strong ego. Because Aries is the sign of I am. It is the sign that it comes, it's the first manifestation of spirit in the physical form. And when Saturn is occupying that sign in a chart, it generally indicates to me that there could have been some difficulty in the childhood that set up a strong sense of self-doubt, that life was a very serious business, and boy, you better get things done. You better accomplish.
Yes, my mother died when I was very young.
That's not uncommon with the Saturn aspect, with the Saturn in Aries. There is, what I would really like for you to do, you've got a good deal of talent here in this chart with the Sun and the Moon in those air signs, and with Saturn in Aries. If you really channeled yourself into areas that would allow you to express and to communicate, to get outside of yourself, to focus on something other than yourself and how other people are perceiving, ergo what I'm talking about is giving, I think you're going to find that pressure is going to let up. So what I want to recommend to you is that you begin to use this period of time to reacquaint yourself with a new direction in your life. You'll have the determination and the patience to follow through with it now.
All right.
Okay?
Could I ask just one more short question?
Well, make it quick, Barbara. We got this.
Will I be having any bad health news this month? Because I have an appointment with the doctor at the end of the month, and I want to know if I'll be having any bad health news.
I don't see anything in the pattern. We've got a lot of occupation of Venus is in Libra. The Sun is in the sign of Leo. Those are good aspects in your chart. We've got a little bit of a problem. Have you been running any kind of fevers at all?
No.
Okay, good. So go in with that.
Just heart palpitations.
Okay, but that's all part of the internal anxiety. That's what I'm talking about. You've got to restructure your life in a new way, Barbara.
Thank you very much. Because you're not seeing anybody these days. You know, you've got to get out of there.
That could be, too.
You've got to get out, Barbara.
Well,
got to make
you
your
very
life
much.
More about
Let
other
me give
people.
You a telephone number and address. No, I was just kidding.
Okay.
Hey, Barbara, thank you very much.
All right.
Appreciate that.
Thank you.
I'm Bill Jenkins with Lee Holloway tonight. Our subject is astrology, but a whole new view of it. I want you to be a part of it. Let me give you the numbers. In Los Angeles,
Bill.
You know, I gave Lee my chart some time ago. I asked her about my chart. She says,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
you've got to come to my house to get it.
Okay.
I'm just teasing. If your wife is listening in right now, I'm going to be in such trouble that she knows I'm only teasing.
Oh.
We're going to do that, Bill. We are. I promise.
Okay. Nancy, you're on. You are one of my favorite kind of people, Nancy. You're a Libran. You were born on the 6th. I was born on the 7th of October.
Oh,
so obviously we're
great.
Superior folks.
My husband was born on the 3rd.
Oh, you're in trouble. You're living with a Libra.
Yeah.
Does anybody ever make up their mind in that relationship?
It goes like this. Well, where do you want to go to dinner tonight? Well, I don't know. Where do you want to go? Well,
okay.
I don't know.
Reminds me of those little chipmunks, you know, with the Chip and Dale. No, after you.
But it's peaceful.
It certainly is that. You know something I wanted? I'm gonna explode a myth right now. Libra is known as one of the most harmonious signs in the zodiac, but I gotta tell you, there's a feisty streak in them you would not believe. I call it it's like the iron fist and the velvet glove. There's nothing they love better than a good debate.
Oh yes.
And sometimes they just take the opposite position of what you're saying, not necessarily because it's a position they hold. They just want to see what you got to say about it.
Just want to spice things
just
up.
Just kind of want to get it going.
My old grandfather, W.C.
W.C.
taught me, knowing that I was a Libra.
Uh-huh.
October 7th, you can't get more labor in that.
You certainly can't.
Still water runs deep, lad.
Still water. There wasn't a still water around you for miles. Nancy, how can I help you this evening? There's an interesting statement here about something about any connection with the kind of music you've been writing.
Right.
I don't understand the question.
Okay, I know. Not till I explain it. It would be impossible to understand. It's a type of music that... I hear on Bill's program the word channeling, and I think that's what I'm doing. I've been doing it for years, since childhood, and now the music is taking form, and it has a set of rules harmonically, but it is not the harmony that
you hear, even with the New Age music. It is not, it's beyond that. It's very strange, but it's consistent in its harmony. And it just flows, and every time I play, it's always different, and it's always there. And I also, it's interesting that when I play this music, I play far beyond my level of playing.
Well, in looking at the planets at the time of your birth, we've got a couple of very big heavyweights doing some lovely things to your chart. Uranus, you know the planet that everybody's talking about, the Aquarian age?
Yes.
Uranus is making a very nice contact to Venus in your chart, and Venus rules the arts. It rules the area of music, along with Neptune, because Neptune is the higher octave of Venus, and Neptune is making a contact with Mercury. Your Mercury is in Libra as well. So both of those are moving you, and I would suggest to you that you go with the flow exactly as you hear it, because what happens with Uranus is that quite frequently it is one of those planets that brings you things that the public is not ready for, that is a little bit ahead of its time. So continue with what it is that you're doing. I don't know if you're getting any good support from the people around you yet, but I will tell you that next year when Jupiter moves into the sign of Aries, it can see you doing some very wonderful things with all of that music that you've gathered together and that you put down, because Jupiter opposing your sun gives you the opportunity to reap some very fine rewards for the work that you're doing, creative work particularly.
Well, wonderful. Then you do see that it's in my chart.
Absolutely.
Oh.
Absolutely. In both places, when I looked at this, I'm going, Uranus is trining Jupiter, and it's six. It doesn't mean anything to you. What you need to know is that they're two big, major heavyweights that have been with you for a while and are not going to be leaving for a bit. So
oh,
you
good.
Have
How
a
long
very
are they
clean...
going to be here?
Well, Neptune is going to be off and on with you throughout this year and part of next. Uranus is moving away from that contact. So by the end of this summer, by the beginning of the fall, you're going to feel that ebbing away from you. But it's going to be like a ripple of a pond. It'll still be with you, but it won't be as quite a high frequency as it is right now.
So now's the time to make
now
the most
the
of this. And
yeah.
I recently submitted some lyrics. Does that also go in with this?
I have to tell you that I feel that the real recognition for the work that you're doing is looking more like the beginning of 87, March, April, May of 87. I'm not going to discourage you, because there's certainly no reason why it couldn't happen earlier. But the way that I'm looking at the astrology is very much like looking at the weather. I can tell you certain seasons are the best. Keep going. Keep up the good work.
Okay.
Congratulations and good
Nancy,
luck.
Nancy, I was hoping I could make you feel a little better here, because I just sent a dear friend of mine who works over in the network side to my locker, and I gave him the combination to my locker. He probably can't read my writing, but I had some channeled music that I was going to play for you.
Oh, are you going to play that tonight?
In Optophonics, in fact, which would be kind of fun, but we will do that a little bit later. But don't feel strange about music coming to you from strange places. It happens all the time. I suspect, in fact, all good music writers, that's where it comes from.
Well, Beethoven, as our dear friend David Viscott says, used to write things down in first draft. I mean, he just got it all. Now, that didn't come from him. He was an instrument. He channeled that information.
How could he have written the magnificent Ninth Symphony, particularly the Ode to Joy, whenever he was totally deaf, if he wasn't channeling?
Do you feel channeling comes from spirits beyond, or does it come from the unconscious? The collective unconscious.
I believe that it is available to all of us. It is that universal self, that universal us, and that it is available. And the more we come from love and tell the truth in our life, the closer we become a clear channel for that type of energy, and the more we stand in the knowing. And Neptune is the planet of divine inspiration, and it is in contact with this Mercury influence and has been for a while, and that is channeling, and that's music, so you just take full advantage of it. Let me tell you something about this, too. When you say to me, well, how long is this going to last? quite frequently when someone has been opened up by a transit such as this, the opening remains even when the planet moves away.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So good luck.
Okay, Nancy, you stand by.
Oh.
I will get that on. If we don't get it, we're not obviously going to have it in here right now. Oh. Get me my writing. But we'll try to open up the next hour with a little bit of that.
Well, writing, thank you, Bill, and thank you, Lee, so much.
You're very welcome.
Bye.
Thank you, Nancy. I'm Bill Jenkins. It's Talk Radio 79. My guest, Lee Holloway.
Yeah.
Hello, Beverly. You tell us what are the strange things going on at Avalon. Aren't you just going to fill us in?
Well, I will, but Bill, I must tell you how much we love you.
Well, thank you.
We love your mind. We love your courage. We love your gifts. And it's so exciting just to talk to you. I've listened to you for years, and in fact, quite a few of us do here.
Okay.
We don't call over because it's kind of hard to get in.
What's going on at Avalon?
Well, I'll tell you. It's paradise over here. If you've ever been over here, you know. If you haven't been over here, come on over, and we'll all welcome you at the boat or the plane.
I must tell you that Beverly's computer readout here says strange things going on in Avalon. So,
okay.
Beverly, we're all ears. What's
all right.
What are you people doing
well,
here?
Just before...
We suspected it all along.
No, not that way. Well, I don't know. Anyway, talking about the energies that... hello, Lee. Lee was talking about the energies that are around all of us and do influence us. And we've had quite a few shakers over here, little earthquakes, which awaken us. But prior to each one of the earthquakes, different things have happened. We've had three different birds, parrot-type birds, expensive ones, very expensive ones, who have been very happy, lived in their homes for years, all of a sudden have, quote, flown their coop, and no one knows where they are yet. I mean, they're up in the trees. The deer have come almost down, well, like, I'm looking right out onto my little hill here, and the deer come right down here. The buffalo have been herding, which they don't usually herd close together near tents.
Well, send them back home to Hollywood.
Oh, no, they live here. This is their home.
Buffalo. Oh, okay.
Yes, buffalo. And the goats, instead of wandering all over like they usually do, because this is their island also, they too have been herding. In other words, they've been staying all close together. And all of this was happening just prior to every one of the shakes that we've been having.
You know, there's a reason for that that I will touch upon, and I am sure that Lee has some other reasons to touch upon those things with you. But we're going to take a break right now.
Okay.
Have a cup of coffee. You stay on the line, if you will, now, Beverly, would you?
Yes, thank you.
We'll take a break for the news and be right back with Lee Holloway. Look at it. And our guest is Lee Holloway. And Lee is so much fun. You're going to enjoy her. And, Lee, we were talking to Beverly, right?
No. Yes, you're right. You're absolutely right. I was thinking Avalon. And when you said Beverly, I went, wait a minute. She was the one who was asking about Avalon.
Yeah, Beverly. We were asking about Avalon.
Yeah.
What are the strange things with the animals? Well, are you there, Bev? I have to punch it. Hello, Beverly.
Hi.
Yeah.
There she is.
Lee doesn't have the chart of the animals.
Did you call in to just tell us about that? Or
I did, and then I wanted to, you know, talk about other things, but it went along with your what you were saying about the energies.
Mm-hmm.
And the energies of the animals who live freely here among the tourists who venture up into the interior. But they seem to, the animals all seem to want to come closer to the humans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it all happened during the time when the earthquakes occurred. And so the energies were strange, I would say. The animals were lovely, but it was just a little different than it usually is.
I have a suggestion for you, Beverly.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to stay tuned, because in about an hour and a half from now or so, Dr. Patrick Flanagan will join us, along with Lee Holloway.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick, as you know, is a very advanced physicist.
Yes.
And there is a lot of body of evidence to believe that a lot of these things were happening because of a high input of what we would call on this show scalar waves.
Oh, definitely.
And scalar waves affect very small scalar interferometers, which are the minds of birds. Your mind, your left and right hemisphere of the mind is a natural scalar interferometer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of the animals such as that.
Yes.
And they do react quickly to those things rather than we do. So we'll defer that question. Do you have another one for later?
Well, I'm so happy because I do live in paradise, but I do have my youngest son, who was born January 18th, 1967, is about to go over town to his second year of college. And I always worry when they go over town because there's no dangers over here on the island. And that world over there is so different. And could you tell me, is Jerry's year in college going to be just fine like it was last year?
Well, he's got some very nice protection from the influence from Jupiter. Jupiter is in Pisces and making a very good aspect to all those Capricorns out there. And his son is the last degrees of Capricorn. And since Jupiter relates to higher learning and wisdom and it's in good aspect to his son, I think it's going to be just a great time for him.
Oh, good. Will it be safe? That's the main thing.
You don't have anything to worry about that. You go and give those poor little animals some consolation.
Oh, I will.
Just relax.
All right. Thank you very much, both of you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you very much, Beverly.
Bye-bye.
A little earlier, we promised Nancy that we would play some channeled music
for her.
And we'll not only do that, we'll play that in optophonics for you. So if you find your radio operating in a strange way, I want you to listen to this. It's called A Metaphysical Feeling. It was written by our own Lyle Gregory here on the we don't want Nancy to feel bad. That came from a channel source. We presented it to you in a very unusual technical source called optophonics. Our friends down in San Diego probably heard that at double the level they ordinarily do. It's a phenomenon that happens with optophonics. And we want to thank our good friend Lyle Gregory, who helps me so much on the show. He's very important to us getting it together, who wrote that. And hopefully you'll be able to see Lyle perform that, and in the not-too-distant future, we'll tell you all about that when that comes around. Okay, we have Barbara on the line. Hello, Barbara.
Hello, Lee.
Hi, and Barbara.
Hi. I just wanted to know what general trends you saw in the areas of career and finance. And also, I had a general question. You were saying earlier how an astrological chart doesn't necessarily... it's not the end-all of everything, and you can't overcome it. But I was wondering, what kind of energy would it take to overcome a trend?
It's the energy, of course, everything in the world is always happening around us. We have crisis, we have good times, and who we are, the way that we come to what goes on in our life, makes all of the difference in how it affects us. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yes, uh-huh.
So the more awareness that you have about yourself, and astrology is a great field, very much like psychology. As a matter of fact, I use it in my practice on a psychological level to look at the makeup of an individual. And the more awareness you have about yourself, the greater clarity and the more control you have over your life. Because until something comes to the surface, until you're willing to face it, it is one of those things that drains your energy and your natural aliveness. We were meant to be free-flowing, open, spontaneous, and joyous. That's the natural state of life. And when you come in, sometimes I'm looking at your chart, if I may be so, if I may share with you a couple of things that I see in here. I'm looking at a chart that has Saturn squaring the Sun, which indicate the potential blockage of the natural ability, the natural joyousness. Life to you as a child, particularly, you may have had to take on additional responsibilities. Life is a very serious business. What happens it, when something like this, when the Saturn moves to almost block out the natural exuberance and the life force of the Sun, there's a series of testing that one goes through before you begin to recognize and realize that life is not always meant to be hard. There are times that are hard, but you realize through testing that you have the equipment and the ability to meet whatever challenges come your way. And the older you get and the more you are aware about your early conditioning and the strong points and the fallacies that were there at the time of your birth and early years, the more awareness you have about that, the freer you are in the moment and in this time now so that you can reap good things for the future.
Mm-hmm.
Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
With regards to what's going on in your life right now, Barbara, I want to tell you that this particular year you've got Jupiter has just moved into a sextile to your Sun. I feel that the period of September is going to be very good for you, particularly September, October. I don't know if you've thought about taking on any type of new courses or new learning. The way that you relate to people will be more expansive, more open. Have you done any kind of counseling at all, Barbara, to help open you up?
Yeah, I have.
Okay, so am I right in saying, can we say truthfully that there has been some sense of repression in the life force from early
definitely.
Circumstances?
Yeah.
Thank you for validating that for the listeners. Because
yeah.
it's
everything
important
you said was really true.
I know that it's so, but I just take it for granted. They do. I think they need to hear you say that. So as long as there's been some good work done in the area of opening you up, this Jupiter aspect can help to expand your creativity. And also, particularly since you've got an influence going on, even though it's not right over your Sun yet, the creativity, the creative levels, new artistic directions could be very good for you. I see a lot of artistic abilities, perhaps even in the areas of writing. I don't know what exactly it is that you do for a living, but I see the opportunity for you to expand into some new directions creatively or to have enough confidence in yourself to begin some new endeavor. Perhaps, as I said, in the writing field, you've got a Mercury-Venus conjunction here, which indicates that you could be very good with words.
Hmm.
Okay?
That's always what I've wanted to do, isn't it?
It's always what you've wanted to do?
Yeah, but I've always put it off.
No, let me tell you something about what you just said. I think you're wonderful, but I don't think that you're being truthful. Part of a Saturn squaring the Sun is always a great deal of self-doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And the creativity is not allowed to you until you face up to the fallacies of the early beginning. So I want you to love yourself a little more. And I want you to forgive those who injured you at a very early age. They didn't mean to. And through that, you're going to be able to tap into this creativity. And it's not a matter of putting it off. It's a matter of feeling good enough about self to really do it and not to fear the risking. Do you hear the truth of my words?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Go get him, Capricorn.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
Thank
right,
you, Bill.
Thank you very much for joining us here tonight. 17 minutes past 10 o'clock on a Saturday night. I'm Bill Jenkins, and with me is the marvelous Lee Holloway. On Open Mind, on Talk Radio 79, 10 or 8 minutes, along with Lee Holloway, who is on station right now with her charts in front of her ready to go and to talk to Chuck. Hi, Chuck.
Hi, good evening.
Hi,
haven't talked to you in a while.
Well, where have you been?
Not since Dr. Peoples.
Uh-huh.
Okay, what I was going to ask Lee about was the, I'm an Aries, Pisces, Virgo, Aries, you know, Aries.
Make up your mind.
Aries Sun, you know, Pisces Moon, Virgo.
You just said
rising.
It all. What? Okay.
Let me throw this at you.
Sure.
You know, I listen to a lot of astrologers talk. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And if I were to really not say, well, that could describe me or my point of view or something like this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So let me posit this. Supposing astrologers really are working out of themselves, because it's similar to a tarot cards, right? Such that however the cards fall, they're not really at random, if you know what I mean, to make a long story short. That one level, somebody knows, or some entity or consciousness itself knows where each card is.
I understand what you're saying.
Okay,
and
such that when you feel the planets in a certain position, it's still your point of view as to what's going on. You're using the planets as a deck of cards.
Well, let me tell you that when I spoke earlier and said that astrology is a science, Chuck, for instance, this lovely young lady that I spoke to earlier, and I spoke about Saturn squaring her son. Now, that's just an aspect, and you needn't be concerned about what that means.
Yes, but science says you can repeat that again and again.
Yeah, and if I sent you to a bookstore to buy a certain book by a wonderful astrologer who happens to also to be a psychologist, and you read the definition of what it was that she had written, not having ever seen this person, you would see that exactly what I said to her was the truth, was accurate, it was valid. What happens when I do an individual chart delineation with an individual is quite frequently they are so blown away about the particular information, and sometimes when I have the privilege to do some people in my life that I know, I will bring and sit down several books on the subject so that I can pull out a specific aspect at random and let them read it to know that it's not coming just from my consciousness, that it is a science. I appreciate the fact that there is intuition, there is consciousness operating also, just as there is when a doctor does a diagnosis with a certain amount of information on a patient, or as when a psychologist begins to listen to an individual and understands the psychological makeup of the individual because of the things that they've learned at school, but also because of their interpretation of those things, their sensing of those things.
Yes, so, but 10 years ago I bought a book that had a list of, say, Aries to the end, you know, Aries, Pisces,
yes,
Virgos, and all of them. And it stated all their professions and the things that they went into. This is like, take a sample. I don't know what the sample size was, but I assume it was pretty large. And none of it came up with what Aries did. They were something else, and it was totally, I was totally disinterested in those fields.
Well,
that Aries or whatever they fell into.
That you buy a book.
Yeah, I know. It's really not in the book at all.
But that's,
all,
not, just, that's
yeah.
not just it. Well, you mentioned that you have, I believe you said, a Virgo rising and a Pisces moon. So astrology is a very interesting subject. It's one of those things that whenever I go to a dinner party, somebody says, the minute that they find out that I'm an astrologer, they want to know about them. And it's very fascinating in that way. However, I like to look at in-depth at the individual to see where all of the planets are, not just the sun signs.
Okay.
Because the moon represents the personality, a great deal of sensitivity in a personality. A person with a Pisces moon might find it very difficult to be in the competitive world that an Aries sun is involved in. A Virgo, especially with a Virgo rising, there's a good deal of influence there that would indicate some level of potential shyness and difficulty to get into some of the competitive, combative areas that Aries finds so comfortable. There are a lot of things. The science is as complicated as individuals are. And while I do recognize that there are people out there who are not writing good material, there are also, that does not undo the truth of the science, and there are some wonderful people who are doing some great research who are really coming to this science with heavy credentials, both in the area of academia as well as in the area of their spiritual recognition that we are spiritual beings as well. And those are the types of people that you need to look at as
but
far as the
valid. But I'm not delineating against that. When I say that the cards fell at random, then the ultimate knower knows exactly where those cards are. I mean, you can call the ultimate knower God, or the energy, or the, like the lady said before, who was into channeling. She talked about collective unconscious or the collective consciousness. It's the same thing, isn't it?
Of course. And that operates through all of us, but that does not disallow the fact that there is scientific. We do have free will, and we also have scientific data showing that certain planets and through repeatable experiences have shown that when certain planets move into certain positions and are in certain signs, this influences a life in this way, this way, this way, this way, and this way. Now,
I really can't dispute that, because I can understand how mass at a distance, and even mass at a distance, really isn't at a distance in the spiritual world.
No.
You see?
It's all energy.
And it's all present time.
Yes, it's all now. So I may not have been clear about your question, Chuck, but...
It was really this... it wasn't exactly a question. Well, you can see that I'm kind of pushy, maybe. I don't know.
I don't think you're pushy. I think
this
you're interested.
This is the place to be pushy, Chuck.
I think you're interested, and I love it. I think the area... I think your questions or your statements are very valid. Astrology is, as I said earlier, both a science and an art, and there is a level of intuition that operates through it as well. You can't take the spirit out of man.
No.
And man operates when they're interchanging with each other. You're all there, and all of your faculties and all of your abilities come into play. But that doesn't invalidate the science itself.
Okay.
Well, Chuck, I have a treat for you, if you don't mind.
What's that?
It's 10:30. Well, and we're talking about...
I did have a question, but...
All right, well, let's hold the question, but let me bring another player,
okay,
if I may. You're talking about science, and Lee is talking about science, and we have another guest. Who is this? We're just going to dovetail in with Dr. Patrick Flanagan, who certainly knows his way around the astrological charts and around the pyramids and around energy.
I'd be willing to bet you that Patrick Flanagan wouldn't believe that he met me and Guy Costa back in the early 70s with his six microphone machine.
He has a...
remember you were wearing a green shirt.
There you are, Chuck.
It was Tuesday.
No, he had
right?
This strange microphone way back. I don't know if he even remembers that, but that's very good. I like that.
You were wearing a green shirt.
I remember, Bill.
Hello, dear.
Blue.
And Patrick, are you there?
Yes. Hello, Bill.
And say hello to Chuck, who at one time was wearing a green shirt when you
it's
had a six microphone affair.
Right, right, right. That was my later microphone invention.
That's the word.
You see, I told you he had a mind like a steel sieve.
Mr. Duke or somebody he worked with?
Pardon?
Was it a guy named Duke or Mr. Duke or something like that?
Yeah, right, right.
Okay, that puts the kicker on it.
Well, I would have thought, Patrick, maybe you and Gail could add a little bit to the science of what Lee was saying there with Chuck, because he was asking a penetrating question.
Love the question, by the way, Chuck.
A fair question that a lot of people ask about astrologers, by the way.
Oh, it is, but astrology is more of an art than a science. It's the science part of it is the calculation and the mathematics involved, the various locations of planets. But interesting, going into science, a lady scientist by the name of Colisico did some experiments which were duplicated by Dr. Theodore Schwenk of Wheelita Laboratories in England. And, theoretically, a hard-nosed scientist would say, for example, biochemist or chemist would say that the distant planets are too far away to have any effect on physiological processes on Earth because their gravitational fields are so weak compared to the field of the Earth that they really shouldn't affect chemical reactions.
But those aren't the fields that affect us.
Right, but it's interesting because Colisico and Dr. Schwenk, who were both, highly credentialed scientists, did this test where they dissolved different salts of minerals in water, and the different salts, of course, represent different planets, like mercury and iron and, different sulfur and so forth. And anyway, what happened is that they discovered that certain planetary conjunctions would change the crystallization of these salts in a repeatable pattern over and over again. In other words, they ran these experiments over a long period of time. They would crystallize on filter paper certain elements. And then, a short time later, speaking of a couple of hours later, whatever, when a certain conjunction or a certain alignment was to occur, the pattern of crystallization would change dramatically. We're not talking about a slight change. We're talking about a dramatic change. And then after this conjunction had passed, then an hour or two later, there would be a different pattern, that is the original pattern that they had observed originally. And this was, duplicated many times. And so it shows that, of course, that these planetary conjunctions do have effects, physical effects, on biochemical processes. And since the human body is, in fact, all living systems are colloidal systems made up of highly charged minerals. Various planetary forces do indeed affect these things. So why is it so far-fetched to imagine that that these things could also lend to tendencies, life tendencies, because our thinking processes are dramatically affected chemically and by changes in chemical structure in the brain and so forth. So there is an actual possible basis to astrology, and it's a matter of interpretation, like Lee said earlier. Some astrologers are able to interpret much better than others. I mean, my chart's been done hundreds of times because I spent 10 years traveling and lecturing, and every single time somebody wanted to do our chart. And out of all those people, very few really hit it on the nail, but I've run into at least one astrologer, one astrologer who so far has been about 98% accurate in predicting things, I'm talking about year or 2 years in advance, which is really remarkable.
Does that help you out, Chuck?
Well, it sounds better, but it's still arbitrary.
No, it's not arbitrary. It's, like I said, that's how astrology becomes an art, because if we establish the idea that planetary position...
No, but I appreciate the crystal measurements, but how did he make those measurements? Well, you can't take radio time to do that, but I mean, that just sounds far out.
No, there's a book entitled The Secret of Metals. And The Secret of Metals, you can go to the Bodhi Tree there in Los Angeles. The Secret of Metals has photographs of these crystals, and they're dramatic. I mean, you can see this with the naked eye. It's not a slight change in crystallization. We're talking about dramatic changes.
So that's the kind of thing we want to look at, Chuck, is that quite often, as we said at the very top of the show, there's been a lot of mysticism that has evolved around astrology, which has made it sort of a parlor game. But the ancients knew that there was something very real to it, and the physicists such as Patrick Flanagan and Tom Bearden and John Bedini and some of the others that I have a great privilege to know.
I've been listening since 1980s as Bearden talked about his stuff.
All right. So you know that we're talking about some very advanced thinkers here who also say that the conjunction of the planets, their relative position, do have a great deal to do with our bioenergetics.
Okay.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you very much, Chuck. I appreciate you jumping in there. And Pat Flanagan, welcome to Open Mind. Glad to have you here.
Thank you, Gail, and I are both very happy to be back with you.
Yeah, it's good to have you. We have a full board of questions for Lee, so what we want to do is kind of dovetail you both together here for a while. People are certainly interested in astrology, and they're interested in what you have to offer. We want to talk about the amazing work that you're doing with crystals and that new crystal and water of yours, which is fantastic, and whatever the other amazing life of Patrick Flanagan may be, which is always an eye-opener and a mind-opener whenever we get a chance to talk to you. I'm Bill Jenkins. It's Open Mind on Talk Radio 79 KABC.